Thank you. It's good to sing God's praise. Good to bring thanks to Him. We're going to turn to the Word of God. Read two passages tonight. Firstly, in John's Gospel and chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker. He's about to go to the cross of Calvary. And he's speaking these words to his disciples. And he says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now over to chapter 16, please. We're going to start reading at verse 5. The Lord Jesus is still the speaker. "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." And God will bless these two readings from his word. Now the Lord Jesus is preparing these people for this great fact that he was about to leave them. Now they were saddened by that. It brought sorrow to their heart. You can imagine the situation. You've got someone who's dear to you, who's very friendly with you, who's maybe even a work colleague with you, and suddenly they come and say, "I'm going to Australia, I'm going to Canada, I'm leaving. What are we going to do without him?" It may even be that in your home, someone who's with you, and you know that the time has come for them to go. And you say, "How are we going to get on without them?" And the suddenness of a going can leave a lot of trauma in the heart. That was how these disciples were feeling. The Lord Jesus going. We've been with him for 3 years. We've depended upon him. He's the one who's been with us all the time. And now he's going. And so he speaks to them and he says, "I don't want your heart to be troubled. You believe in God, I want you to believe in me." And he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my Father's house, the Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And his going was important for the preparation of that place. He was asked the question by Thomas, where are you going? How do we know the way to you? How are we going to know how to get to you? And he utters these words. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. And here he's preparing these men, telling them this fact, that there has to be a way back to God, back to the Father. And he's preparing them for this fact, that there is only one way to God. Not many ways. People think tonight, you see in the world, that there are many ways to God. A woman in Cowdenbeath once said, you see, heaven is just like Cowdenbeath. Well, she could never get that comparison right at all, to say heaven's like Cowdenbeath. And Cowdenbeath is certainly not like heaven. But she said, Cowdenbeath is entered through from different ways. You can come into it from different directions. And heaven's just like that, she said. You can get there from different directions. If then we can get from different directions, the Lord Jesus says there is one way, and only one way. And he was the one who was going to make that way possible for you and I. He was going to prepare the place and the way to that place. And we ask ourselves, well, how did he do that? Well, he did that firstly by going to Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem, out of that little hill that was out there, the skull-faced rock. And there upon a cross, he was going to give himself as a sacrifice to God for sin. And he was going to make a way. He was going to make peace by the sacrifice of his cross. And upon that cross, he was going to bear your sins and my sins, take them and make them his very own. And in doing that, make a way that we can get back to God. There is a way whereby we can get back to God, away from the dark paths of sins. The door is open where you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin, and we come as a sinner to Jesus. And these men were there, and he was telling them, even for them, his followers, before they could be in heaven, he must die for their sins. They were his followers. They had been with him. But they still had to know this fact, that he was going to make the way into the Father's house. And the wonderful truth is that the Lord Jesus went to the cross in Calvary, and there he bore our sins in his body upon the tree. He took your place, my place, and bore our sins. That sin which will bar us from the very presence of God has been taken and borne by Jesus Christ. Said Isaiah many years before he died, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And the wonderful message of the gospel tonight is that Christ has taken our place and borne the wrath of God for you and me. And in doing that, he has made a way back into God's presence. And that is the only way in which we can come to God's presence. And the Lord Jesus saying to these men, I want you to believe that. I want you to accept it, believe it. They had some questions, of course, about the matter. And sometimes we have questions about the matter of salvation and of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to put our faith and trust in him. For God so loved the world, he had said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the message he was bringing across to these people right throughout this book and throughout his lifetime was this: I am here I am the way to God, but you will not believe it. You will not believe me. You will not accept me. And people try their own way to get into heaven. Many work hard to get into heaven. Try to give all that they can and think they are good enough. There was one lady, a well-to-do lady, big businesswoman, who lived in a mansion. It was the day of the coaching horses, and she had a coachman who was a Christian. And the preacher had preached the gospel and told that the way to heaven was in Jesus Christ. She said to the preacher one day, "If I go to get to heaven, must I get to heaven the same way as my coachman?" "Yes, madam," he said, "that's the only way to heaven." And she said, "I'll never be there." She flatly refused the way. And people are like that in the world today. The way has been presented to them, but they will not receive the way. And of course, we're going to look at there is the judgment of God in refusing to believe the way. So the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up the way whereby we can go to the Father. He has made for us peace. He has brought us to that. He wants to give us that peace. And he says it's there by believing and trusting in him. Now, as he's going away, he brings us these great facts that we read there, that he wasn't going just to leave them without any help. These men were worried, you see. If you're going, you're going to leave us. You're going to leave us orphans. That's a terrible thing, to be left an orphan. Out in Zambia there, we see orphans. Orphans. As a result of the HIV/AIDS scourge, children are left orphans. No one to look after them. Probably being looked after by a bigger sibling, or looked after by an aging aunt or uncle. They're orphans. And they are said to be orphans. And it's a scourge. And no one likes to be in that position. And these disciples were feeling that. We're going to be left without anyone to help us. And the Lord Jesus said to these men, "I will not leave you orphans. I won't leave you fatherless. I'm going away. I'm going to the Father. Yes, I'll come back again, but I'm not going to leave you orphanless." And he brings before them this great truth, that when he goes away, and it was necessary for him to go away, for this to happen, necessary for him to go to the cross, to be raised from the dead, to go back to God in heaven, back to the Father, it was absolutely necessary for that to happen. And when it happened, he said, "I will send to you the Comforter. I will send to you the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit." And there's a wonderful truth there, that this Comforter, who is a real person, he's going to come to them, he said, and he's going to be the same as me. "I'm going to send you another Comforter," he said, "one who is just like me." That's the source of the word of another Comforter. Not of a different kind, but the very same. And he's going to perform the work that I did for you while I was here. And his work will be to a greater extent, far greater extent, because it's going to be a spiritual work. And he's going to be with you in spirit. He's going to come with you. He's going to live with you. He's going to abide with you. He's going to work through you. And he's going to do so many things that we read there when he has come. And the great truth is that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and accept him as our Lord, he gives to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. And in its widest sense, that means many things. He is the Advocate, is another word that we could use. We could say he is the Counselor. He is the Helper. So that everyone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ are given a number of things as a blessing from God. We're given the forgiveness of sins, That's a wonderful thing, to have the forgiveness of sins. We're given a hope for the future, and that's great. An inheritance incorruptible that fades not away. We're given a home in heaven that is prepared for us. And we are given for help every day that we live, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit with us, who will help us in every situation of life. Now in the life where these people were, their legal system was just a little bit different from ours. They didn't have lawyers who were representing each side of the case. No, they had a judge. And that judge was there, and he listened to what the person had to say. And if that person was wise, what they would do is they would get an advocate, they would get a helper, they would get one who was able to stand by them and to bring an eyewitness report concerning this person so that they could be defended. And in the world in which we live as Christians, and we need to remember this, each one of us who love the Lord Jesus tonight, that Satan will attack us. We're going to be attacked. The Bible speaks to us. When we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will suffer persecution. He that is godly will suffer persecution. Think it not strange concerning the persecution of your faith. And writer after writer in the New Testament said, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be accused of many things. And in the life we're going to find that there are doubts brought to us by Satan. He's going to accuse us of the wrong things that we do. But the Holy Spirit is with us and is given to us so that he might help us through such situations. That he might be with us and to defend us in these situations. The accuser points the finger at us. But it can't point the finger at Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit would bring that truth there. And when we do wrong, as Christians we sometimes do, the Holy Spirit is there to defend us because Christ has died for us. And we have this great truth. He's there to comfort and to bring us consolation. He's there to lead us into all truth. He's there to guide us, take us by the hand and lead us. Wonderful thing when you don't know where you're going, to someone who can take you to a place. Oh, it's all right if you get someone who'll direct you, and they say you go this way and that way and turn left and right and so forth, and your mind becomes clouded. But when someone says, I know the way, I'm going there, I'll take you, and they're able to guide you as they go along, lead you there. And in life, when there are times in our life that we don't know just exactly where we're going and how to turn and what to do and how to say, God has promised that the Comforter is there to guide us and to lead us into all truth. The Lord Jesus said one day, when they take you before the courts, when they take you before the judges and accuse you of many things, don't worry what you're going to say in a day like that. Because in that very moment, the word will be given to you by the Holy Spirit. And it's great to know that each one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight have the Holy Spirit with us. And he is able to take us, lead us, direct us, and take us forward. And to know that his presence is with us. And he is on our side. He is with us. The Bible also speaks of this great truth that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we sin and we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all sin, so that we have one, a helper, an advocate with the Father. But we also have with us, down here upon this world, in this world, we have the Holy Spirit with us, guiding, leading, directing us. And so the great truth is that when we trust Christ as our Savior, and when we believe in him and receive him as our very own, our sins are forgiven. We're given the gift of eternal life, and we're given the Holy Spirit, who will reside with us, and he will never leave us. He will never leave us. I will not leave you orphans, he will abide with you forever. And that great truth, we can take this great fact, because we have been brought into the family of God. And it's a wonderful thing that each one of us who have trusted Christ as our Saviour are in God's family. And we could say we're in God's family twice. Because the Bible speaks about us being born into God's family. And that's a wonderful truth. We are born again, and we are born into God's family. But the Bible also speaks about us being adopted into God's family. And we get this great truth that we are adopted as sons of God. And we've got the greatness of adoption. And you know, they tell me that legally, there is a difference between someone being born into a family and someone being adopted into a family. If we're born into a family, you can be disowned. Your parents can disown you. If you're adopted into a family, legally, it is impossible to be disowned. We are not only born into God's family, we are adopted into God's family, and we can never be disowned by God in heaven. That's a wonderful truth that you and I as Christians can grasp. And the coming of the Holy Spirit makes that a reality. But you know, that's great for the Christian. But what about for those who are not Christians? Those who are unbelievers? What is the work of the Holy Spirit with relationship to them? And these verses there speak to us in John chapter 16. He said that when he is come, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So that the Holy Spirit is in this world tonight, and he is working a work of conviction, bringing men and women to realize this fact that there is sin in the world. Men and women don't want to hear that word. They don't want to listen to that word, but it's there. There is sin in the world. And what is this conviction of sin? The conviction of sin is because, says the Lord Jesus, they do not believe in me. He's not working a work of conviction concerning the sin of murder, the sin of adultery, the sin of thieving, of lying, of speaking blasphemy. That's not the work in which he's doing. He's working this work of conviction in the heart of men and women, bringing them to realize this sin, that they do not believe in Jesus Christ. It's the sin of unbelief. But we need to realize this fact tonight, that if we are not saved and we are sinners, we are not believing in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has come. He's come in the flesh. He's come to redeem us by the sacrifice of himself. He's come to give himself as a ransom for our sin. And he has died upon the cross for you and me. And he's saying, I am the only way to heaven. Believe in me. Believe in me. But we don't believe in him. We're guilty of this sin, and the Holy Spirit is here to convict us of that sin of unbelief. That is the sin that will bar men and women from being in God's presence. They will be barred because of their unbelief. We may think that that's not a very big sin. Dear friend, that's the sin that will stop us being in God's presence, because we believe not. Think of the great thing that God has done in sending his Son. He has gone to the great trouble, the greatest of trouble, to send the very best, the darling of his bosom, into this world. He has sent the Holy One to die for us, the just one, for us the unjust one. He has given his very Son for our life. And he said, if you believe in it, you will be saved. And the great sin is that we are not prepared to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, said the Apostle Paul, and you will be saved. Put your faith and trust in him. And the Spirit's power in the world tonight is convicting men and women of that. Satan's great power is to blind the eyes of men and women, that they believe not. Satan goeth about tonight, and his great desire is to cause men and women to believe not. That's his, what the sin that he's trying to put across to men and women. And we live in a world that ridicules the message of the gospel that Christ died for our sin. We live in a world of men who won't want to listen to it. And Satan is working hard, and maybe he's worked in our heart up till this present time. And the great sin that will bar us from being in God's presence is unbelief. And so the Holy Spirit is working there. He's also working and convicting this world of righteousness. Of righteousness because the Lord Jesus says, I go to my Father and you see me no more. And this work of righteousness in the world today is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon that cross, who gave his life for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day and went back to heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus tonight is sitting at God's right hand. He's sitting there. And the reason he's sitting there is this, that God has accepted what he did upon the cross as finished. That work was completed and completed to the satisfaction of God. He raised him from the dead and has exalted him to his own right hand. And God is now righteous in judging men and women in this world. God is righteous in the judgment that he passes upon the world, because Christ has vindicated what God had lost through Adam's sin. Christ has restored all that Adam took away, and he has given back to God his great standing in that he can give to men and women salvation tonight. And the work of righteousness has been completed in what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross. And so the Holy Spirit is working in this world and telling men and women there is a Savior who is in heaven, and he is there righteously. And God can now righteously forgive men and women their sins. This is not something that is done through a back door, a deal that is being struck. This is a perfectly righteous thing that has been done. God can now offer to men and women righteously, justly, the forgiveness of sin because Christ has died. But the next statement would remind us too that God is righteous in his judgment. And the Holy Spirit is in the world convicting of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. And Satan, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the prince of this world, who goes about seeking whom he may devour, he has been judged. He has been judged when Christ died upon that cross. The scripture given to the woman in the Garden of Eden was that there was coming a day when the serpent's head would be crushed. And that it was crushed that day on Calvary's cross. Satan was not only bruised, he was crushed and he was defeated. And the work of Satan and what he's doing is defeated, and judgment has been passed upon him. And Satan knows that today his time is short. And he's working all over the world, causing restlessness, causing upset, causing wars, causing men to be angry with each other. He's seeking to put away the name of Jesus Christ by fair means and foul. And he's destroying men and women's lives. And people who are trusting Christ as their Savior are suffering for it. And Satan knows that. He is a defeated foe. There are more people being massacred and dying for Christ in this our day and generation than has ever happened. Satan is trying hard. He's trying to persecute, to destroy. But dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself upon that cross, and upon that cross he bruised and crushed the head of Satan. And so Satan is judged. And in the world today, the Holy Spirit is working, convicting men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And tonight, the Spirit is working in the hearts of each one of us. And he is trying to direct us and bring us to God. Bring us to him. Cause us to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And of course the great question is this. How do I stand in relationship to this? Do I believe with all my heart that Christ has died for my sin? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing is placing my faith upon what happened on the cross of Calvary and in what Jesus Christ did. That's my simple faith. And that's what will save us. And that's what will take us into heaven. Believing that Christ is the way. May we trust him. And those of us who are Christians, may we recognize this great truth and this great fact. That we have not been left powerless orphans. God has come to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us. And he's with us each day. And we can have strength. Not only for today, but for this week. And we can know that in the future, we're safe and secure. We're not left orphans. We will be, the Holy Spirit will be with us forever to eternity, and he will take us right into the very presence of God. We've got great news. That's good news, and we can trust him today. Let's pray. So blessed thy word to us, Father. We give thanks for it. We give thanks for that there is a Savior who has died for us, who has made the way possible into thy presence. And who is able to take us there if we place our faith and trust in him. We give thanks too, Father, that having believed, thou hast given to us the Holy Spirit. And he resides within our hearts. And he's there to help us in our Christian journey. May it be that this week as we walk with thee, as we go about our business, as we contact men and women, may something of the very presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit be manifest in our lives. May it be that there shall be a witness to thee in this world in which we live. So bless thy work. Bless each one of us here tonight, Father. Thou knowest our circumstances, and we ask that thou shalt just speak to us and challenge our hearts, and may we be close to thee as we live this week. We give our thanks for being here and seek a parting blessing now in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of a hymn. 250. Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Many summers you have wasted. Ripened harvest you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted. Yet you linger in your sin. Let's keep seated and sing verses 3 and 4 of 250.
Things that save your life.